And I think one of the things too is people that approach this with, well, I don't really like theology, or I don't really like that philosophy stuff. And you know, I get it. It's the way that it's couched and taught, though. It's okay. Well, you understand God, the Godhead is a Trinity, right? Well, I mean, how do you approach that subject? And I think we see the lessening of teaching that type of hard subject that people claim not to want to know, and we appeal to kind of to the lowest common denominator or the loudest voices that say, I don't want to learn this. And then we have to go for, you know, years within the confines of recent church memory of going, okay, well, there are three gods, right? And it's like the yolk and here's mm-hmm. the eggshell. It's like, no, that's actually a heresy. But if we can't go to members and say, okay, can you explain to the Trinity, to become a member of this church without falling into heresy, then I think we're kind of doing a disservice there. And so, you know,
that's a lot to ask.
I mean, yeah.
Can you explain the Trinity in two sentences?
I'll give you three. Yeah. I'll give you three, you know, Trinity. So I think we've kind of, the American church at least has been teaching like that. And we are seeing the effects of that. And we're seeing the weird stuff coming in and overtaking that. If you were to have somebody like a Joseph Smith come in and say, you know, there's this pantheon of gods out there. We only care about, you know, Father Yahweh here and or Jehovah. And, you know, we can be like him. Well, okay. I mean, you know, that sounds wrong, but where do I go for that? Can I go through for John 1 and bring out the preexistence of the Son, the triune aspect, the Father existing in equality with the Son? Can I as normal Christian understand that? Am I being equipped for that? And so if you're not going to spend any time in 1 John addressing those things, then slow down some, talk about that. It doesn't have to be this, well, there's a textual variant here, and so we're going to pause for a 2-week message on textual variants. Just incorporate that, mm-hmm. start incorporating that into your messages. Or one of the things that you could do is crowdsource it. You know, hey, I'm going to be teaching on John 1. Elders, deacons, the nerdy kids in the back who I know because they're always bringing me questions that are really hard to answer. Go through this and see, okay, you know, Bill, you know about textual variants. Go through it and bring me notes about that. Steve, you know, the cult aspect to it. And it doesn't have to be a full-on message on, okay, when approaching Mormons, you know, here's what we do over the course of 3 weeks. We're going to break this down.
Mm-hmm. Or actually let Bill or Joe or whoever have a, you know, a teaching session on it.
Yeah. Right?
You don't have to, obviously, you don't have to do everything yourself. Right.
Yeah. Delegate it. Yeah. But you can incorporate those moments within your message. You can talk about, you know, and Luke here at the cross, Jesus is forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. There's actually a weird textual variant here that is difficult, and you address it because somebody might be exposed to that. And if you're exposing them, it's like how we deal with our children when we teach them in the home setting, right? Are you going to let the world say, well, you know, the homosexuality and transgender movements, they're icky, so I'm just going to wait until they're exposed to it, and then they'll bring their questions to me. Children aren't probably going to do that. If you address it in a safe setting, in a confined setting, addressing it through the Christian worldview, then you have the leg up. You're able to say, okay, here's both sides. Here's what is going to come to you. Here's how here's the biblical Christian worldview response to it, and you let them ask the questions within that. You're just doing that in a church setting there. But I think we kind of need to stop saying, well, you know, I have a bunch of women don't want theology. Women want practical application. Well, okay, but where is your practical application grounded in? And we see it here in What About Evil book is, if we're not grounding it in the character and nature of God, then we're going to get into the philosophical weeds where we might be outside the bounds of scripture and not really know it because it works or it's really useful or it stops the people from pointing and saying, ha, here's where you made a mistake because you relied too much on God. Well, that's what we're called to do. So I think we kind of need to stop letting people off the hook and start encouraging them to dig deeper and not just have a what about me type approach when they come to church. It should be teaching the whole counsel of God. And one of those things is how to address it to the world. You know, you see Paul going out to the synagogues and then to the streets and then to the learned people as well, addressing the gospel. He had to be ready to explain. The Bereans were ready to open their scriptures up and check Paul. And you know, how many messages once you get to that Berean passage where you're mm-hmm. like, we should all be Bereans. Well, this is one of the ways to be Berean is to understand that there are people that say, oh, you know, here's two visions of Paul and they don't make any sense. Well, address it really quick, especially pull in the Greek. Talk about why the Greek is important. Talk about why just, you know, you're throwing out Greek terms every once in a while, you know. Oh, did you know, like the word heart here is splanchnoid was actually the guts of it. And that's how they referred to it back then, that they thought your feelings reside in your guts. Well, you know, other than, oh, that's a nice story. What, you know, why is that important? Because you're bringing in what was thought at the time, what the original audience heard, all these things that you're already doing when you're teaching, you're just bringing in kind of another layer. And, you know, I understand, like, I don't feel particularly equipped to deal with apologetic questions, but you're already doing that within the confines of your study for a pastor. Or if you're getting ready to teach a small group, same thing, you know, have a pre-question answer. So you're not having to sit on the hot seat. You know, you're not facing the firing squad. Say, okay, what are some of the common objections you've heard to whatever it is that you're teaching on? Have them write it down and then take the next class period to address those things. Congratulations, you're doing apologetics.
Yeah.